Good morning, good morning. It is always just a joy to my heart to get to gather together. It's so good. And I appreciate you all creating community and coming and sharing faith and trusting that, you know, giving this time, this chunk of time, is actually of great value. And not just that, but giving our lives to something bigger is of great value. And I think we encourage each other in that, and you guys encourage me, and it's just good. It's good to take this time. It's good to be together. So I thank you for that. And my name is Dove, and I'm one of the pastors. And I wanted to start just with a little story. When I was a freshman in high school, so I must have been 14, I remember thinking, like, What is reality all about? What is existence all about? And I was wondering, I wonder if, like, all of you really exist, or if you were just, like, created, this is before the movie Matrix, but if you guys were just, like, created by the Matrix to, like, create this experience for me. And, like, I sense that I exist, but I don't know about you. Like, I don't, like, what is reality? What is existence all about? And I remember my sister, she had a really disappointing moment in her life. And she was in her bedroom, and she had Milli Vanilli turned up as loud as she could so that we wouldn't hear her weeping. And she was in her room just weeping. And I remember that moment going, she's real. What I feel in me, that's, she's got that too. And I don't know about anybody else, but, and so I don't know if you're like me, if you ever, like, just think about existence. What is reality all about? Like, what is going on? And I get this sense of, like, I was born into this stream of time, into this stream of existence, and I have this little blip in it. And where did it come from? And where is it going? And what is my place in it? Do I have a place in it? Am I just drifting along in it? Did it just start for me? And the beautiful thing is that the Bible really brings a lot of amazing revelation into that nature of existence. What is existence? Where did it come from? Where is it going? And so, I want to kind of look at that big picture today, and I'm not a super detailed guy. I get kind of lost in the details. And so we're gonna start there. And we're doing a series. We're doing 4 weeks on eternal life. And so eternal life, if you think of eternal life, what is eternal life? Eternal life is life, and I just want to lay out kind of two things. Life that's eternal in quality and in quantity. So it is eternal life because of its quantity and its quality. So rather than just this short little section of life, like where I am in the stream, I actually have a greater quantity in that God gives us a greater life. He gives us not just this little blip that we live and die, but he also gives us a resurrected life that lasts, that has no end. And also there's a quality of eternal life in that it's not just a physical life, but it's a spiritual life. There's a quality of eternal life where we are connected to God, to the spiritual being who is behind and who sustains, who created and holds together the entire universe, the entire thing. It's a life that's connected to Him. And so we've been invited into eternal life. And so we are looking at how we experience life when we receive eternal life and when we share eternal life with others. And so we experience life. And today I want to look at the gospel, which is the good news. And the good news is the doorway into eternal life. The good news into eternal life. Would you pass out those handouts, Clay? Please? There are some handouts if you guys want to check them out. So the cool thing is, Steve and I are doing a series, 4 weeks, on eternal life from a book in the Bible that does not have the word eternal life in it. That's brilliant. Because it says a lot about eternal life, even though it never says the word eternal life in the book of Colossians. And so the gospel, the good news, is our doorway into eternal life. And not only that, even as Steve was sharing last time, and I recommend if you didn't listen to that one, they're online, check it out. But eternal life is not just like this ending point. Oh yeah, someday later there's eternal life. It's a beginning. It is a life that's given to us that we can experience. And I want to share today the gospel, the good news of Jesus, is not just the doorway, but it's also our power to live that new life. And so, why don't we pray, and then we are going to look at the good news that brings this life, the gospel. Father, thank you. I just want to stop for a moment and acknowledge your presence and just be aware that you are present here. Thank you, God, that you are present. You are here. Your Spirit is in us by faith. You are around us and through us. You love us and desire us. You want to teach us. God, I stop and just ask you to do that work. Do that work in the depths of my spirit. Refresh me in the good news. Refresh each of us in the good news today. Not just as a moment in time in the past, but as our life, as the sustaining power of our new life. Thank you for what you've done for us, Jesus. I pray you'd continue to open our eyes. I ask you would give us a great joy in the relationship we have with you. Give us great joy in what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to go through Colossians 1. If you guys, it's on the back in the NIV if you guys want to read through it with me. I'm not going to stop through it. I'm just going to plow through it, and then I'm going to kind of look at some of the phrases a little later on. If you have a different translation on your phone or something, I'll pull that up as well. But so Colossians 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who was a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his people, holy people, in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the domain of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. For the sake of the body, which is the church, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. All right. That was a lot. I realize that. You could study that section for many, many, many days. There's so much in there. And so I'm gonna pick out some of those phrases. So I want to look at the good news. The good news that brings us new life. What is this good news? So the word good news is the word gospel. So gospel means good news. And the gospel, just in a nutshell, is that Jesus Christ has accomplished something awesome. Jesus has done something so remarkable. That's the gospel. And the second part of it is a gift for anyone who would believe it. It's not for certain people. It's for anybody in the whole world. Jesus has accomplished something tremendous. So what did he accomplish? And so before I jump into that, that's kind of the main thing I want to share. What did Jesus accomplish? We're going to kind of rewind and get the backstory. So we're going back in that. Why are we here and what is going on? Why? So if we go back a little, first of all, God created, and it was good. God is the creator of all things. And in this we see that Christ, the Son of God, was part of that creation. Things were created through Christ. And when all of creation was done, he looked at it, he said, it's very good. And God was the king of all things, the rightful ruler, and the only one worthy of all glory. Amazing. So much that even if you looked at what he created, you'd be like, wow. He was worthy of the royal wow. That God created, it was so good. And then there was a rebellion. And first Satan rebelled from God, decided he didn't want God to be king, the rightful king. He wanted some kind of glory. He wanted his own kingdom. And so Satan rebelled. He revolted. He created a counter kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, in opposition to God. And then people, by their choice, chose to join that rebellion. And I think the promise, and you guys might relate to this, all you rebels. I know I shared on this a few weeks ago too, but you might relate to that. It's like, I think I'm tired of having somebody be my king. Because if I could be my own king, I could make things work out really well. And so we thought by being rebels, we could get freedom. And instead, we became slaves. We became slaves to sin. We became slaves to death. And we actually became slaves to Satan. And you might not realize that in the stream of your life where you were born into slavery. Like, I didn't know I was a slave. Just try not to sin for a few days and see what it's like. The reality of being born in slavery. So, God needed to reestablish his rule to obliterate that counter kingdom that was in revolt, and he needs to redeem his people. In other words, purchase our freedom. Those were the two things that God needed to accomplish. And so, he promised a savior, a Messiah. And the Jews were looking forward to this Messiah. And the Jews expected, when Jesus came, that he would be this great military leader or some kind of political leader who would establish the rule of his kingdom here on earth and obliterate those other kingdoms and set up this new political kingdom where all things would be right. And Jesus wasn't that. Jesus was the Messiah, is the Messiah, but he came in a very different way. And so Jesus came, and he came from God as being the Son of God, being in nature God. The first thing he did is he actually just, rather than coming to, I don't know what kind of king would come and just slaughter or just rule, he came and dwelt with us. He became a person and lived a life. And in his life, he drove out demons, he healed people, and he taught people. And especially he taught a little handful of people who would later carry that all over. But he taught about the kingdom of God. He taught about what it was like to live with God, what it was like in God's kingdom. And then, especially to the sadness of those who were hoping he would be this political leader, he was executed as a criminal, which is, just as an aside, sometimes this is encouraging. It's like, okay, if people hated and killed the most loving person ever, why would I be surprised if they don't like me? It's like, so Jesus comes as this person of amazing love and acceptance and giving. And what do people do? Hate him. Execute him. He's messing something up. And then the amazing thing is he was resurrected. God brought him back to life. And not just back to life to finish a life and then die, but to a new life. And then he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father. And he promises to return again. So unlike setting up a kingdom, and Steve and I have been going through this course, it's been refreshing just even thinking about this. The cool thing is, in our thinking, Jesus would just come and set up his kingdom. Done. But Jesus has a plan to come twice, which kind of changes it. He came once, and he accomplished something really amazing that we're going to look at. And then he left to the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit during that time, and then he's going to come back again. So we live in this weird gap, right, between his two comings. And this is a time of mercy. It's a time when God's kingdom has already come. It has already conquered, and yet the fullness is not here. It's a time when we are invited. It's a time when there's mercy for anyone to enter into that kingdom. And then when he comes back a second time, he's not going to come as a baby. He's not going to come as a suffering servant. He's going to come and bring the hammer. He's going to bring the smackdown. And when he comes to bring the smackdown, that the counter kingdom is done, is completely over. And his kingdom is all that's going to stay. And so during this time, we have an opportunity to, we are in his kingdom, and yet his kingdom, the fullness of his kingdom is not here. Okay, so what did Jesus accomplish? We're just going to look at, according to Colossians, Paul says, Jesus came. What did he accomplish in this life, death, resurrection? What did that do? He rescued us from the dominion of darkness. We have been rescued by what Jesus accomplished in his death, in his purchase. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness. We are no longer slaves there. We are no longer a part of that rebellious kingdom that we were born into if, by faith, we choose to accept his offer. He brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. By faith, we are brought into that kingdom. And he's writing this to people who believe. One of the cool things about this letter, Paul's writing to people he's never met before. He's just like, hey, I heard you guys have faith in Christ. Let me write you a letter. You guys are so awesome. You encourage me. Let me remind you. Let me pray for you. I've been praying for you. Like, you've never even met us. He's praying. He's telling them, those of you that have faith in Christ, he has brought you into his kingdom. You are in the kingdom of his Son. He redeemed us. There's a few words in here that are really cool to look up. I recommend look up some of these words in the dictionary. Redeemed is a really cool word. The NLT translates, he purchased our freedom. He bought our freedom. We are no longer slaves to sin, either to the power of sin or to the penalty of sin, including eternal hell. We are no longer slaves. He bought us. He forgave our sins. Wow. He took our record and just erased it all. It's like, let me see that debt. How much do you owe? Paid. Done. He reconciled us. Reconciled is a beautiful word also. It means to go from being enemies, and I like the picture of like facing away from each other, to being brought back into friendship. From being separated from God and hating each other to being brought back in to friendship. So what do we get? Isn't this how we are as people? Okay, so what do I get? What do we get if from Jesus? And so Paul says a few things in there. In verse 4, he says, we get this faith. We have a confidence. If we believe, we get this a new heart of love for others. Where I actually care for other people. We get this hope, an amazing hope in heaven, an inheritance. And oftentimes an inheritance, you know, I think of, that's when somebody else dies. But inheritance is when we die. When we die, there's an inheritance waiting for us. We inherit Jesus's his rightful stuff. We get a share of that. We get an inheritance with him, a hope in that. Reconciliation, again, he says this, I think in, you guys can flip over the other side if you want to see the actual wording of these in 21. So rather than being alienated or separated from God, we get to be close to God. Rather than being enemies of God, we get to be friends of God. What an amazing gift. We become holy in God's sight. By accepting what Jesus has done for us, we become holy in his sight. Not a single blemish, completely free of accusation. There's not a single accusation against us. We're holy. We get a part in the mission. By accepting what Christ has done, we get to have a part in what he's doing. And for Paul, this was really exciting. He's like, I was given a commission to share this word. We get to be on a mission for God's kingdom. We get to be a part of bringing his kingdom, of obliterating this kingdom of darkness that no longer has a claim to the world. This kingdom that no longer belongs here, of coming and eradicating it. Of shedding light and love and bringing goodness into it. We get to be a part of that mission of bringing truth, of declaring God's glory into that, of telling people the continued good news of what Jesus has accomplished. We get the Spirit of God in you. Jesus, or Paul says, this is the great mystery. This is amazing. Christ in you. From the moment we say yes to God, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes and lives in us. God is not just far away, God is here. What an amazing intimacy that we get to know God at that level and to be known by God because His Spirit lives in us. And that Spirit is the source of our new life. Another way to say it is we get an ongoing relationship with the most amazing being in the universe. Okay, so how do we receive this gift? You just believe it. You just receive it. Another way to say it is you just say yes. You know, like Steve was saying in his video, it's like, what do you do when you get married? You say, I do. Yeah, yes, okay. And so from the moment we say yes to God, the fullness of that work of Christ comes into our lives. And then it's not over, right? Then we walk in the beauty of that relationship for the rest of our lives. And that life, because it has God's life in it, God's Spirit, it doesn't end with death. It has a quality that will continue. And that His kingdom will not end. The other kingdoms are going to be wiped out. His kingdom continues. And all who are in that will continue on. What an amazing thing. I want to share just a little bit of Christianese with you guys. If you haven't been in the church too long, somebody's like, what are people talking about? But the moment that you say yes to God, there's like people say a lot of different phrases for that. So sometimes people say like, hey, when did you get saved? What does that mean? Well, I got saved when Jesus died. He saved me. But it means the moment you put your trust in Christ, I got saved. I was saved from sin, from the penalty of sin, from the claim of the evil one on my life, from the claim of death on my life. I was rescued from that. And so I was saved the moment I put my faith in Christ. For me, that was in college. I was saved. Sometimes people will say, when did you receive Christ? I received Christ. We could also say born again. I was born again. Why? Because a new Spirit, the Holy Spirit, came and lived inside of me. And I am no longer the same. I have a new life. I entered it. I have eternal life. Sometimes people will say, like receiving Christ, when did you pray to receive Christ? Because oftentimes in that it's like a prayer. Yes. Yes, Jesus. This simple moment of faith of just saying, I need you. I realize I'm in a world of trouble without you. I can't rescue myself. And so I've just come to you in faith. Yes, I receive you. Come into my life. Sometimes people will call that praying the prayer. Usually that's kind of like, if people say that's kind of not as nice. It's like, yeah, I prayed the prayer. Usually that means I went through the act of it, but it didn't actually change. It wasn't genuine or something. But praying to receive Christ, receiving Christ, being saved, being born again, being justified. All of these happen in the moment that we put our faith in Christ, but that's not the end. It continues. And so, okay, that was a lot of head stuff. I want to share just a little bit more at the heart level, what that looks like, what Jesus is inviting us. And so the living God, even if we don't even understand this entire stream, the good news to me is the living God loves you and He wants to be with you if you would be willing. The living God loves you and He loves you today, even if you've heard the gospel message 5,000 times. He loves you today and He wants to be with you. Just as much as the first time you heard it. He loves you and He wants to be with you. And You can think of it like a man pursuing a woman. And if you imagine a man who really loved a woman, but he was a gentleman, so he wasn't obnoxious. He never forced his way. He didn't demand or whine or manipulate. He was patient. But he would do little things just to let her know that he loved her. And he watched as other suitors would come and catch her eye, and she would go on dates with these other losers. And he was patient, and he continued to show that he loved her, and he would invite her and ask her, and even when she rejected, he just kept going. Because there was something in her that he found so adorable, so desirable. And as God pursues us in that way, he's such a gentleman. He doesn't force his way into our home. He doesn't creep outside the windows. He's not obnoxious. He's so patient. Just saying, hey, I love you. In these subtle ways, not in weird, creepy ways. And waiting until hopefully that day we say, yes. And as he asks, hey, will you come and be with me? I say, yeah, yes, yes. Yes, I will. I will come and be in your home. Make my home with you. Or it could be, we could think of it as the story of a rebellious son. If you imagine a son with a father who loves him very deeply, and the father cares for him and wants what's best for him, and in that sometimes he says things the son doesn't necessarily like, and the son decides that he doesn't need his father's love, that there's something better out there in the world. And so the son rebels from the father, goes off on his own way, rejects all the advice of his father, rejects the ways of his father, rejects the calls and the pursuit of his father. When he receives a letter from his father, he puts it in the trash before he even opens it. And that father continues day after day, week after week, of trying to make it known, son, I love you. Come home. I will receive you. Come home, son. Come back. Come to me. And in that moment when the son finally realizes all the things that he's been chasing after are actually found at home with his father that loves him. And all those pathetic things that offered him life but suck him dry and then mock him afterwards are really nothing compared to what the father offers. And just comes back and says, yes, yes, I come back. I'll come into your home. I'll let you love me again. I'll be your son. And I think that's what it's like. And whether you have said yes to God a long time ago or not at all, I want to invite you to say yes to God. I want to invite you to say yes, to join into the kingdom that he is inviting us into, that he has saved us into, an eternal kingdom that will last forever. And so the first thing that Steve and I want to invite you guys into is to receive the gift of eternal life, which is an amazing connection to God, which is getting to be with him forever as the most amazing being. And if you never have, or if you have many, many times, to say yes to him today, say, yes, I'm with you. Yes, I married you a long time ago, and I say yes again. I am with you. I come into your home. I allow you to love me and receive the life that you have. I think it's summed up even just in this one phrase. Paul says this a lot in his letters. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. Grace is the love you cannot earn. It's the gift of love. It's the love that is lavish and unconditional. He says, unconditional love and gift to you from God and peace. No animosity, nothing between us. This is the gift of Christ that he has given us, that he has accomplished, and that by faith we get to enjoy and walk into. And so, and we get to share with others. The other thing we want to invite you guys to, we're going to try to do a prayer meeting on the November 28th in the morning on a Saturday. And we probably won't meet indoors, but we might head up onto the hill and just pray for our city, pray for others. And because there's power in prayer, and because we have something worth giving, and in that we experience life by sharing that with others. And then we also want to invite you to that testimony workshop. But the first place is, will you say yes to God? He's offering it to you. So let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you've done, Jesus. God, I thank you that you have purchased us, that you have bought us back, that you paid a price for us. Thank you for rescuing us. Thank you that we get to enjoy being in the kingdom of light. Jesus, I say yes to you. I receive your gift of ongoing life and love, of purpose, of confidence, of newness. I receive it all. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Have your way. In your name, Jesus. Amen.